Welcome to the One Hop Podcast. Our goal for this podcast is to equip you to live a life of prayer, individually and corporately. God is raising up watchmen, these communities of intercessors around the globe, and we have such a privilege in Omaha to join the Lord in rebuilding David's fallen tent for ceaseless prayer and worship to rise as an incense before him. We're so glad that you joined us today. So we're halfway through January already, which is crazy. More than halfway through January.
Yeah. I don't know how it happened.
Yeah. We were just sitting here. And of course, it's the usual suspects.
Nicole, who's back this time.
Yes.
I didn't hear it last time. It was sad.
It was sad because it was...
Last year.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry about that, people, that it was just Drew and I. And who else is here?
Drew, I'm here as always.
That's right. The faithful three. So we just had in Omaha last weekend. Oh, we're just recovering from it now. We had the big ice storm 2017, which...
Anybody who lives south of us, I'm sorry. We're such babies. I'm thinking my sister lived in North Kansas. And no, Kansas gets ice like insane. Kansas City.
Yeah.
My sister lived in Lawrence for like 7 years. And they get ice. Like, I've never seen before. And I'm like,
yeah, Arkansas does also. No snow, but they get the ice. So we were in a winter storm warning alert, don't drive, for a couple days. And thankfully, the Lord is good to us, so it wasn't as horrible as they had anticipated based on the models. But boy, it was really something. But we did have a day. We had Monday where really no one could get out.
No, you really couldn't. It just wasn't safe.
And drive around because there was a little layer of ice on the streets and on the sidewalks. So school was closed on Monday. And then for whatever reason, they closed school yesterday. By noon, sun was out and it was almost 40 degrees. So my daughter, who's a teacher, was quite thankful for her big ice day that she had friends over and they just had a good time together. So Drew, what did you do during Storm 2017?
I really enjoyed what I affectionately call Icemageddon 2017. I really enjoyed it. I just stayed at home from Saturday at 1 o'clock to
even knows the time.
Yesterday.
After Temple.
You know, I just binged watched a few shows and did some reading and just really enjoyed just not having to get out of my pajamas for about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the worst part about Icemageddon for me, there's two things. One was grocery shopping Friday evening.
Oh
my goodness. Because you would have thought it was the end of the world.
Everybody.
Yeah.
The lines were backed up about 20 people on every
Don't every even
aisle.
Understand.
So that, and then the other thing is I slipped and about fell trying to take my trash out one day. But other than that, I really enjoyed Icemageddon.
I'm thinking we just didn't do anything with the trash during that time. So, Nicole, what did you do during the Ice Storm 2017 or Icemageddon? Yeah.
I'm actually trying to think.
It was that memorable.
Well, my sister came into town over the weekend, so I had some family stuff to do. But no, I actually worked on focus stuff.
Oh, nice.
I not that we really need to talk about this, not that our podcast listeners need to know, but I am doing a new, like, meal plan and exercise routine and all that fun stuff. I figured it's better to wait until like mid-January for the whole New
Don't
Year's
just
Revolution
get started
thing.
Right
so
away.
It's like, you're just gonna give up by the 18th. So I'm just gonna start on the 18th, and then I won't give up as quickly. So hey,
there
you know
go.
What? I'm just like, I won't be disappointed there in myself go. If I'm just like.
Nicole's
I'm gonna go
motto
slow.
2017: procrastinate. It won't be so bad.
But it was good, but it took so much time, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is annoying, but I'm sure if I can stick it out
That's
to
right.
like June, it will be good, and it will be a good new lifestyle change. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, and you know, all those changes, they take, they just take time.
Yeah.
You know, they take time. New habits. We had Lindsay and Jeff and their two little ones called me on Saturday, with anticipation of the big storm. Mm-hmm. And they live kind of around the House of Prayer here, and their neighborhood has power lines that are above ground, which often they lose power with thunderstorms and everything. So anticipating they wouldn't have power, they called and asked if they could just come stay with us. So they were at our house at noon on Sunday, and then they stayed until they left Monday around noon. So it was, it was so fun to have them, and just we played games, and just to have that, like, quality time was really, really awesome. So I would say, for me, the Ice Storm 2017 was quite fabulous. And we had, of course, we had done the grocery shopping too, but like just normal grocery. We weren't out there thinking
that's
the end
I
of the world
to do.
Was coming.
Yeah,
I only needed to pick up a few things that were on sale, and I didn't even have them.
Food.
I know, I did. I did.
They're all sold out, probably.
Half the stuff on my list was already gone. There was really no point to me going.
Yeah, it was something. But we all survived, and it's over now, because today it's like in the 40s, and the sun is shining, and it's glorious.
My car is like, I need a wash
bad. True, mine does too. It's time to get the car washed and get ready. So hopefully that was the end of the traumatic weather in winter.
I was asking a friend that I live with this morning, When we were kids, when I was a child, we had so much snow every winter. Like, this time, I was playing in, you know, feet of snow here in Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And coming from Alaska, we always had snow. And so I'm just like, it's so crazy how it's changed, because the little guy today was sad because he's like, is winter over?
Yeah.
And there's, like, hopefully, been no snow and anything. And I'm like, that is so crazy how, you know, fast forward 20 years and there's no snow. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It makes me sad, but no one else in the room.
No. No one else in the room. And can I just say, I would be all over global warming. Like, if that's a real thing, bring it on.
I would
love Nebraska to be like Florida all the time.
Oh, my God.
So, no, I'm not sad. I'm just not sad that today is
gorgeous.
Until
you go to Alaska and all the polar ice caps are melting and people are, it's not good.
Drowning.
People are drowning.
Yeah. Global warming is actually the second flood. Kidding. Yeah. Kidding. Kidding. Okay.
Oh, my gosh. Well, anything else anybody wants to add on to the wonderful retreat time that we all had in our homes?
See, if it does it again next month, I'll be thrilled.
Drew's already looking for
it. 2017.
I knew.
What can I watch on Netflix now?
Yeah,
no. I did get through the first season of Bones. I will admit that. So, because it's the last season, and so I have to watch it back through. And
we had a 2-year-old in our house, so we didn't get through anything.
No. Yeah.
Football was on, though.
Yes. Thankfully, the ice storm did not affect football. I was really concerned about the Kansas City Chiefs game, but I will say my heart was very, very happy during the ice storm because Green Bay beat the Cowboys, and my heart was just very happy.
Yes. Yeah, wonderful. That's really true. It was really something, because we had that on the whole time.
Yes.
I kept saying, wait a minute, when do we switch to HGTV? When do I get to put on House Hunters?
After the playoffs are over. That's when you can do that.
Yeah.
Two more games for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's really exciting.
We will have Super Bowl information next podcast, just so you prepared.
That's true.
Podcast listeners.
Wait, no, Nicole will have Super Bowl information.
So just be prepared, podcasters. Some of you may not want to tune in.
Hey, now.
Or just skip the first 12 minutes of the podcast.
Or if you're like me and you love football, it'll be fantastic.
I'll talk about the snacks I make. That'll be my
food is good.
Whatever that's called. My input.
No, I was just going to say, did you know you can't actually call your parties Super Bowl parties? It's, like, against the rules.
Why? Because we don't own the name.
Yeah, because we don't own the name. So, like, churches and stuff that have, like, Super Bowl parties. You can't actually call them Super Bowl
parties. That's a good little tip right here in mid-January.
So mid-January, if you are having a Super Bowl party, do not call it
a Super Bowl party.
At all. Just call it a football party or the big game party or something like that, but it can't be
the
Super Bowl.
The big game party. There's probably a Netflix show to binge that day.
They have like Friday Night Lights if you want to watch
they
that.
They do, on. True statement.
Such a good
I own all those episodes.
No, but... Well, it all depend on who's actually in the Super Bowl. It will depend on how much I actually talk about it.
True. There you go. So, all just right. Just so you know, that's okay. Something to look forward to.
Yes.
That's something to look forward
so,
to.
So today's podcast is not just me talking about football. We are going to piggyback on the prayer challenge that we've been doing for the month of January. So we've been doing 31 days of prayer and focus. So we're just going to talk a little bit more practicals and how mm-hmm. we just want to encourage you to continue for the rest of the month to really press into this prayer challenge so that we can just start the year off right of growing our heart towards the Lord in intimacy. So stay tuned. So for those of you who have been joining us on Facebook or email or our website, you'll know that we have done, so far we've gone through three mm-hmm, sections, yep, mm-hmm. and we're on to the fourth. So what we focused on for focus this year was six different areas of our life. Mm-hmm. So we did family life, heart life, mm-hmm. recreation life, work life, physical life, and finance life. So work, physical, and finance, it's coming up. You don't want to miss it. Mm-hmm. So basically, we just really wanted to look at what Scripture says about mm-hmm. these topics because mm-hmm. they're all something we deal with on a day-to-day basis. And how can we have a shift of mindset or have a different perspective or how do we hold our heart in mm-hmm. these areas so that we can glorify the Lord in all that we say and all that we do. And so I'm just kind of going through, but making it be scriptural based. Because, mm-hmm. We've talked about this before, but if you're someone like me who is more emotionally focused and more emotionally driven, it's really important to look at scripture and say, okay, what does God say about this? So for me, mm-hmm. I took the heart life one, and which is actually really good for me to go over. And it was really wonderful to go through and look at how much God actually says about emotions, mm. how much he says about our heart, how much he says about what he desires for us in that. And so I know for my own heart, I was really moved and convicted mm-hmm. and really, encouraged to mm-hmm. press into this area. And I didn't know just how much my heart, my emotions, my stance with the Lord affected all my other mm-hmm. areas.
Oh, that's good.
In so many ways. And so I know that it really affected me just writing them and then going back, 12 days later and reading them with everyone else and kind of praying through those. It really, I don't know, I was really pleasantly surprised uh-huh. at how I could just feel kind of some subtle movements,
yeah,
which nice. I think is what this is all about. It's mm-hmm. the subtle changes because it's a journey, and focus is a journey, and it's something that you're not just going to learn in two mm-hmm. days. It takes a time, mm-hmm. a process, a journey of learning how to move what you've been focused on for so long, which is more than likely self,
mm-hmm. right.
and turn that focus to the Lord and how he can be incorporated into our everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's kind of where I'm at good. With this yeah. prayer challenge.
Yeah, that's really good. So. Well, one of my key, my life verses, which is really what, when I started doing focus personally many years ago, was Ephesians 5 that says, at verse 12, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Sorry, that's verse 15 and 16. Mm. And that to me, it was probably about 10 years ago, and I read that, and it really convicted my heart. So I went on just that search of every year, just really getting of focus in different areas of my life for that year, kind of looking at, and I think this lends itself to that, where am I at right now mm-hmm. with my family, with recreation, with work, with finance, with heart, with my physical life? And where do I want to be in a year? And I do think what you're mm-hmm. saying, Nicole, is so right on. It's the subtle changes. And we may not even recognize, like, day to day.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if you press on and you keep it before you and you, you know, when you slip up, you're like, okay, nope, I'm back on. You know, it's that press delete and get going again. Because we want to live as people who are filled with wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very much a, and I don't know if you guys are this way too, I'm very intentional with every moment. So I wake up, I have things that I do so that as soon as I put my feet on the floor out of bed, I hit the floor running. And mm-hmm. I've got a plan. It's just who I am. I've always been this way. But when I first came across this scripture, I thought, gosh, I just want to make the most of every opportunity. So kind of paying attention to asking Holy Spirit, so what are you saying in this moment? When I'm at Target, what are you saying here so that I don't want to miss an opportunity you might have for me? So it caused my heart, and it continues to cause my heart personally, to just be really paying attention and more alert to what's going on in my own heart, what's going on in the atmosphere, what's going on with people that I'm seeing throughout my day.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have to say, you know, over the last probably 10 years of doing it, I've seen such a shift
mm-hmm.
in where I started when I look at 10 years and where I'm going. But even year to year, to just keep that, like, oh, wow, this is what my goal, this is where I'm going. So kind of keeping focused on what I want. And it's amazing at the end of the year, if you keep that before you, you get what you want.
Yeah.
It's not, you get what you want. So whatever you put before you, you will end up, you know, replicating mm-hmm. and becoming like. So that's kind of what I love every January and every September. These are like my two highlights, my months of focus. So mm-hmm. that's kind of for me personally. How about you, Drew?
I think the one of the things that I really enjoy doing in kind of regards to focus and the New Year's resolutions and all that is just kind of taking, kind of reviewing mm-hmm. what the Lord has said the last year
mm-hmm.
and kind of measuring where I've fallen on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like prophetic words that were given mm-hmm. in 2016 or things that I heard the Lord say to me or say to do. And then kind of looking, oh, right, you know, like that's actually happening. Like the Lord was right. Like it kind of stirs my trust and belief with the Lord, or like I haven't done that
mm-hmm.
Or I'm not measuring up to that very well or this is really the direction I feel the Lord is kind of has taken this last year to point me to in 2017 and so I think that for me I really enjoy, you know, certainly delegating a lot of the things. And, you know, I've made many resolutions and I failed many of them.
Yes. yeah, me too.
And tried to do a lot of different things that sometimes don't work out very well. But the thing that I want to make sure that I don't lose track of is what is the Lord saying to me about my heart
mm-hmm.
and how am I stewarding that? Because yeah. I can make a lot of resolutions,
mm-hmm.
you know, about
yeah.
friends and work and my finances and everything else. But if I do all that and I still don't change anything in my heart, then mm-hmm. I'm losing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And that kind of goes back to even what you were saying, Nicole, about just how it's quite shocking to see how our heart affects
mm-hmm.
every area. And of course, we know Jesus is all about the heart. That's what he wants.
Well, I think it's what we have to understand, at least what I'm gaining in insight as I know the Lord longer, is the heart is not like the mushy feelings or mm-hmm. things like that. Like when I'm saying the heart, I'm talking mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. the fear that paralyzes me and I can't move forward in things because I'm afraid, the distrust, the unbelief, like all of that mm-hmm. that is making up my emotions, which then affects my will. That is what that's what the Lord is talking about when he's talking about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a bad paradigm for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's just a shift of knowing that he cares about every single thing in that. He cares about my fears. He knows they're there. He knows how debilitating my fear can be, and which then leads to depression, which leads to isolation, which leads to my will surrendered to the enemy and not to the Lord. And so he cares so deeply about the fact that he knows I'm prone to sadness. He knows I'm prone to depression. And so, but that's not his heart for me. That's not his heart for me. And so how, Lord, can I get your heart for myself in that's this good. Season of life? So the first scripture that I used was Luke 16:45. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. Out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. And so, but for me, if I were to look at that, I can look at that two ways. I can look at that as I have to work my butt off. And if I don't work hard enough, and if I don't produce enough good fruit, then Jesus is going to be mad at me and everyone around me is going to be mad at me. And I'm going to be disappointed in myself. Or I can look at that and say, this is what God wants for me. He wants my heart to be full of good treasure and produce in me gold. But I cannot do it in myself.
Amen.
I need your help, Lord. And so for me, that's the transition that I've been going into and what he's revealed to me just in this last month of it's not so much about my works. It's about my partnership with him. And the reality is it's going to take time.
And it's a process.
And if I don't allow myself the process of growing, of learning, of pressing into him when I'm scared, because letting people in is scary. And yet it's a part of our heart that we have to have open. And so it's just, if I'm willing to press into him in those areas, then he will, he's good and faithful to meet me. He's not going to change everything in 2 seconds. Like, that is the biggest lie that I was told when I became a believer, is Jesus is a magic pill, and all of your crap is going to be gone in 2 seconds. And it's not true, but it's worthwhile.
Yes.
And so just knowing that, so for me it was needing to give myself grace to do the process, and I hate process. I hate it. I want it fixed in 2 seconds. I want a project that I can fix. And I'm not a project. I'm not a project to the Lord.
Right.
And so I can't allow myself to make myself a project, and I can't allow anybody else to make me a project, because that's not God's heart for me. So I think that when we look at focus, I had to take the expectations and I had to take the pressure out of it. So like I was saying in our bantering thing, it's the... What is today? The 18th.
Yeah.
And I just started working out today. But you know what? There's grace, because it is a process. And there is, but because I can't put so much pressure on myself to perform, because performance lasts a month and then it's done.
Right. Because you can only perform for so long.
Yeah.
And you just get weary. It makes you, it really affects everything in your life. You can muster up enough for just so much time.
Yeah.
And then that...
And then it's gone.
And then it's gone.
And then your heart is in worse...
Yes,
you're in shambles.
Right.
And I say this to our podcast out of complete... I've done it. Been there, done that. Don't want to do it anymore.
Right.
Sorry. Not going to... You know, just not going there anymore.
Right.
And I think that we all have to get to a place with the Lord where we're dishonest in the area of focus, because we are not always focusing on good things. That's the truth.
True. Right.
That is the truth. And I think the New Year's resolutions are sometimes so inward focused and it's all about me, that that can be really challenging, because our focus isn't supposed to be necessarily just on ourselves. It's supposed to be on others and the Lord and ourselves, and how we all, that's an integrated part of our life.
Yeah. And we know whatever we focus on grows. Whatever we focus on will be multiplied in our life. So it is really, we have to be very careful with what we speak. We have to be very careful with what we think and very careful with what we put before us, so, because we know that's the reality. And so I love what you just shared. And it just made me think of the scripture, which I think you used, But we know it well. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart. Mm. For everything you do flows from it. And, you know, I mean, everything. Not some things, but everything. Our attitudes, our emotions, our behaviors, our habits, good or bad, we can test. Like, we can test our own heart based on what we're seeing manifest in our life. So, like, when you said that about fear, I was just, I've really been struggling with an area of that personally. And this weekend, during Ice Storm 2017, when I had just a little bit of time with the Lord, with my kids over, but I just kind of stole away for a few minutes, and I was just talking to the Lord about what I was feeling this fear come on me for something, and the Lord said very clearly to me, you're trusting in your own ability. Mm-hmm. You're not even handing that to me. You're not giving it to me. What are you afraid of in me? Why aren't you trusting me? Mm-hmm. So then I had this conversation with him about just repenting, you know, repenting for taking that on that I should never take on because it's way too big for me to take on. And so I just had that process, you know, mm-hmm. with the Lord. But it's continual. It's our whole life.
It is. It's every day.
It never ends. We continually be conformed to his likeness if we're pressing in, pressing in, pressing in. And that takes, we don't just drift into following the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just drift into having a heart that's full of his goodness and his light and his life. It's intentional. It's being diligent and really meditating on who he is and all of that. So,
yeah.
Anyway. All right. Well.
We're going to take a break. I think we all need a break here. And we will be right back with reviews by Drew, our favorite section.
Our favorite, favorite, favorite.
So stay tuned.
Well, welcome to this month's podcast, our review segment of Reviews by Drew. This is our first Review by Drew in 2017, so I would just like to take this moment to welcome everyone to the new year. I hope everyone is just having a blessed new year, you know, as you're setting your focus for the new year, as you're just kind of processing things from last year. Maybe some of you are recovering from some of the holidays physically or emotionally with family or, you know, I don't know where you're at, but wherever you're at, I hope you are doing well in this new year of 2017. As always, I'm Drew, your host. And this month, we are going to be reviewing a new book that is similar, you know, it relates to our topic very well. We don't always do that on the podcast, but this month we are, and it's called The Fully Funded Missionary, A Biblically-Based, Hope-Filled Guide to Raising Financial Support by Rob Parker. And I know all of you are thinking, oh gosh, a book about finances. Really, Drew? But it is really helpful. Rob is the director of the partnership team at IHOP in Kansas City and helps train missionaries on how to raise financial support. Finances is one of the top reasons why missionaries don't go into the field and why they leave the field. And so having missionaries be fully funded where they're able to have a living wage, where they're able to support themselves and their families is very important and is one of the reasons why there's such a crisis in missions today, where we don't see very many missionaries go out or we see a lot of them return discouraged. And so Rob gives a very clear biblical way. He goes through a lot of scripture on why it's biblical to raise support, on some of the arguments you might receive, and then very practical ways on how to do it. So it's a great book that I found very helpful in raising my own partnership team. And as we're heading into the new year focusing, I thought it would be a nice thing to help jumpstart you on raising your partnership team if you are interested in or already are a missionary. If you're interested, please visit onehop.org and send us an email. But this book was very helpful for you to go through, and I'll be looking at it again this month as I continue to raise my own partnership team, and I hope that you do that as well. And I hope that you find it very helpful and that you're able to raise your partnership team, because the Lord has a partnership team for you. And he is, you know, what God asks us to do, he will provide financially for us. So be blessed in 2017. This has been Reviews by Drew with Drew.
that review.
Yes.
Yes.
I probably should read that book. I have it, but I probably should. So I think for me, one thing that I just want to say about the prayer challenge and how we can actually continue that throughout the year, and how kind of what Christy was saying, just keeping our focuses before us. I think that as we are, you know, coming to the end of it, we have 2 weeks left, is to find the one that really related to you, the one that really hit you the hardest, whether that's family, heart, recreation, work, physical, finance, to pick one and to really go after it. And what we, when we do the prayer challenge, we try to make it very simple, because starting out praying something that you really need to work on is hard, and it can be convicting, but it can also just be you're tender towards that place. If you're struggling in finances and God is asking you to get financially on track, maybe you have debt, maybe you just have really bad spending habits. It's not always fun. It's not easy. But it's really important to have our every area of our lives, you know, really lined up with what the Lord is saying. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage each one of us to see the ones that were really that really got us and go after that this year. I'm sure the Lord's speaking to you about a lot of other things. He is me as well. But just add this. And so it really is so simple, you know, a scripture. What kind of we felt like the Lord was saying about that scripture, and then simple prayer points. So this could be something that you do when you wake up, you're still in bed, just pray 5 minutes about this one specific area, and ask. I think the biggest thing, though, is we don't just constantly talk to God about our troubles. Like, I want to encourage us, because something that I've been doing is, God, give me wisdom in the area of my emotions. Give me wisdom in the area of how to align my will to yours. God, give me wisdom to know how to handle my heart more gently, because I am probably the hardest on myself when it comes to this area. Definitely harder on me than God is and anybody else in my life. And so give me wisdom to know how to handle myself with care. So if you're struggling with the area of work, you're struggling in the area of finance, or your marriage is struggling, or your kids, or whatever it looks like, or you're single and you're wanting to be married, I think we just really focus on those areas. But how, God, give us wisdom to know how to gently handle these topics and how to move forward. So that's, I think really that's good. Something that I've kind of been drawing out of this month's prayer challenge.
That's really good. And just to kind of find where the Lord might even be convicting your heart, that this is where to kind of keep your focus.
Yeah.
And I love what you said too, because we wanna keep our eyes and our thoughts and even our speech on those things that we desire, those things that we want, instead of maybe what we're trying to get rid of or what we're not wanting to focus on. So I love how you were even just sharing kind of how you're praying a little differently. And I just wrote a blog last week, because this is one of my favorite things to talk about and to write about. And I just shared six ways to keep your focus before you for the new year. So I'm just going to share those quickly. And if any of them jump out at you, you know, grab them. But the first one is just show up. We just get started. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I'm going to fail, or I'm not going to be able to do the whole thing. So we don't even make the first attempt. So really that, just to show up, get started, and to not, don't worry about how you're going to fail or how you're going to mess up. Don't even begin thinking that. Just get started. Small, like what you were saying, Nicole, just really small steps. Then the second one is to just be consistent. Stay steady. And I think about the parable of the tortoise and the hare, where the tortoise won the race because he was steady. He didn't stop. He kept going. And even though he was slow. Now, slow is not winning the race, but staying steady wins. So if you can just be consistent, you keep doing it. And when you have like a rough day, or it's just like, oh, I just didn't do it. You just get up the next day and you now you show up. It's like you're kind of going back to the number one. Then the third thing, so we have to show up, to stay steady. Number three, have a positive attitude about it. Be positive about what you're doing. Speak the result that you want. Speak the end result that you're looking for, that you're desiring. And this takes some time and it takes thought, because so often we just have a habit of being negative about our own selves and, oh, I'm not going to be able to do it anyway, or maybe something that we're really wanting to let go of. But instead we're looking and we're almost like we're getting a visual of what it's going to look like when we've achieved that or whatever it is that you're desiring. So it's speaking what you want, having that positive attitude. The fourth one is be committed for the long haul. And Nicole, you touched on this too. We plant, we cultivate, we harvest. There's a process. Those spiritual laws are the same as natural laws. So it's these little changes that are day by day that don't look like anything. But after several months, you'll look back and it'll be these major changes that have happened just because you've been doing the little bit. You've planted that seed and now you're cultivating the garden. You're tilling it up. And then eventually there is a great harvest that comes. Then two more. Cultivate a burning desire that's backed by faith. See the end result. I think about when Greg and I built our house. We didn't have anything to, you know, we had a plot of ground. So what do? We walked through a model to get a picture of the end result. So we want this excitement, this desire that's then backed by this faith of this is what I see. This is the vision that I have, so that before it even is manifest, I'm standing on it. I'm looking at it. I'm calling it in. And it's. I think that too is just a mind shift change. And then the last one is to be willing to pay a price. It is completely worth the investment and the sacrifice to have this focus, to have this quote unquote mission accomplished. Do the things that you're committed to doing, even when no one's looking, even when it's really hard, just don't give up. So I'll have Nicole put those 6 points. We'll just have them on the website that if you need to go back and refer to them, it's just helpful. Just keep doing it. Stay steady. Stay consistent. Get a vision. And don't let it just be this 1 month of focus, but put it before you. So it's something that is you're looking at it. You're thinking about it throughout the whole year, and you see it even before it's manifest, believing by faith God is going to make it manifest as you keep doing the small things.
I think all that's really, really good and really important. For me, every time I come to kind of the new year or come to a time where I'm like reevaluating, sometimes I get really cynical and I'm like, you know what? I did this last year. This goal has been on my list for the last 5 years, and it's never been accomplished. And it's never – I have seen little or no growth in it, so why would I even do it again this year? And kind of the thing that I've grown into with the Lord learning is I have to have a vision for the long term, that it's going to be a long process, and I have to be willing to go through a long process if I'm going to reach – the goals that I think the Lord has for me and that I want to see in my life. But we're eternal beings. Like, we don't have to have it all figured out in a year. We have thousands of years to figure these things out, and they don't all have to be figured out even before we die, although that would be really nice. But I think for me, shifting my focus is like, oh, I failed that last year, failed that 2 years ago, failed that 3 years ago, into, okay, I'm an eternal being and I have a long-term vision. The process is necessary, but it's going to be a slow process. And there's going to be a lot of failures along the way, but a lot of victories too. But it's going to be a process. And then looking at it as this vision, having a people vision, it's going to have to involve people. Like, we're eternal beings, but we're also social beings. And I don't like that, because I'd rather just do the stuff myself and all that. But the fact of the matter is, very few of our goals don't involve other people. And even if we're just talking to someone else about them, like, we have to have a vision that we're eternal. It's going to be a long. We have to have a vision that we're social. It's going to involve people. And I think we have to have a vision that the Lord's going to break in, that there will be victory, that he's like, we're supernatural spiritual beings. And we have to have a vision that he will do something, that when we're asking and when we're doing our part, that he's going to do his part too. And that, you know, the vision, that we might have a long vision, but that doesn't mean the Lord can't break in. in the middle of our slow process and speed it up and give a lot of grace along the way. Mm-hmm. So I think that those kind of having those three things in my mind has mm-hmm. has kind of quelled the cynicism a little bit, mm-hmm. so to speak, to say, all right, it is worth it, because some of those goals that I've seemingly failed, they're just slow.
Yeah.
Right.
And I haven't done all of my part. I haven't involved other people with them. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was just going to happen overnight, and it didn't.
Yeah.
Instead, mm-hmm. you know, looking at it that way, looking at it in a different mindset has really helped me to stay going each year and mm-hmm. to keep it past January, mm-hmm. which is yeah. always the goal.
That's so hard. So. That's so hard.
Well, and the Lord loves the process.
Yeah. And I just, before we end this podcast, I just want to, I feel like the Lord is saying to say this. So, when we look at John 11, where the portion of scripture that's talking about Jesus raising Lazarus from the mm-hmm. dead, you know, Jesus knew what was going on, and Mary and Martha were very close to Jesus, and they were heartbroken, and they were disappointed. They were really frustrated with Jesus because he got there late. He, you know, they're like, you could have prevented Lazarus from dying, but you weren't here. And yet, in his physical form at that stage of our history, he was in one place at one time. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have the spirit at the time. And so just understanding, just as I've been kind of processing through this as we've been doing the prayer challenge of, you know, Jesus, he knows. Mm-hmm. He knows your heart. He knows your struggles. He knows every area that you want to grow in. He knows where you want to focus, and yet it's so hard. Like, he is fully aware of those things, just like he was fully aware of what was going on with Lazarus and fully aware of what was going on with Mary and Martha. And he allowed the process to happen. He allowed Lazarus to physically die. He allowed Mary and Martha to be mm-hmm. frustrated and hurt and wounded and sad and to grieve. And Jesus grieved. He wept because he loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary. He loved them so much, and he didn't want them to have to go through the pain part of the process, but it was part of the process and they had to go through it. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus says, you know, he gets to the tomb and he's like, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus arises from the dead, which is hello, miracle, but he comes out of the tomb still bound.
Yep.
He comes out with his head covered and his arms covered, and he's completely covered in the burial shroud. And so it was required that Jesus did his part. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Now Lazarus and Mary and Martha and the disciples and those around him mm-hmm. had to do their part.
Yep.
And so kind of just piggybacking off of what Drew was mm-hmm. saying, this focus is not just about us. It's about partnering with the Lord, him doing his part, us doing our part, mm-hmm. and our part does require other people. And so I just want to encourage you guys to find an accountability partner. Find a group of people that you can do this with. Maybe not everybody who struggles in the same area so that you have some encouragement, but maybe it is. Maybe it is a support group of sorts if you're dealing with addictions or whatever that looks like. But understanding you're not weak because you can't do it mm-hmm. by yourself. Amen. You're not a disappointment to the Lord because you can't do it by yourself. Lazarus Amen. Couldn't unbind himself. He couldn't mm-hmm. take off the burial shroud. He needed other people to help him. And so I just want to encourage you in this focus of this year, 2017, allow the Lord to really break in and have there be freedom in your life, but freedom to invite him in fully mm-hmm. and to invite other people into your mm-hmm. life as well.
That's good. So. Yes. Well, and it's so great in that because Jesus is the one who says, take off the grave clothes. He says to them, mm-hmm. take off yeah. the grave clothes and let him go. Mm-hmm. So even from his perspective, it wasn't that Lazarus was like, oh, I'm in need. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the one who said, now you all
yeah.
come alongside. And he's a social being. So mm-hmm. of course he wants us in relationship doing this with people.
Yeah.
So good.
Well, we wanted to let you guys know about something new that is happening in 2017 here at OneHa. On the third Friday of every month, from 6 to 8. We are having a family watch, and so we're having families come in, and we're going to be praying for families, and this is a time where families can kind of seek the Lord and minister to Him together. So we'd love to have you and your family join us. And if you are a single person like me, we also would love to have you join us, and you can just be part of our family. So join us on the third Friday of every month from 6 to 8. So the first one in January is on January 20th at 6 o'clock. So come and join us for that. And we also would love to see you around any day that we're open, Monday through Thursday, 4 to 8, and Fridays, 12 to 4. So come and join us at One Hop, and we'll seek the Lord together as we are focusing on Him and just focusing on what the Lord has for us as we set our goals and as we kind of renew our focus in the year 2017. So be blessed, and we'll see you next month.